Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Hey, you guys, this is The Mask, and you guys are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. And you know what? You are smoking!
Hello and welcome to GCRN Wars, and we're back with the second episode of the 90s Villain Tournament. Actually, it's the first round, second side of the bracket, but semantics. Joining me is...
We're old Dan, how's it going?
Pretty good. So, how did you like the head-to-head voting on the first episode of this?
I haven't looked. Well, I don't know if it's changed since last time I checked, but some were closer than I anticipated. Some went the way I expected, but I don't think there's any major upsets. I could be wrong, but I was more surprised that some weren't bigger blowouts, if anything.
Yeah, I kind of, and some of them I was a little surprised at who won, and some of them were kind of neck and neck through the entire thing. And some people, if they just didn't know who the characters were, they just didn't vote for them. Which, you know, if I didn't know the characters, I probably wouldn't vote on them either.
Yeah.
Or if they're both losers, I wouldn't want to vote on them. So, Jedi Disaster said some of these characters I've never heard of, so hard for him to argue one way or the other. Lord Zedd and Apocalypse is probably the best matchup. Both have a chance to go all the way to take on Dark Phoenix, who will probably crush everyone, although Hades is a dark horse, too. Epicurious says, well, about 60% of the characters I've never heard of, or in the case of Moriarty, never watched that version of them, so have little to comment on a lot of them. He says, I do wish Skeletor and Zedd faced off because they would be more fair and epic battle, which I kind of agree to some degree, but yeah, it probably would have been a better match off that way.
Possibly. I mean, I could see that. And then Apocalypse and Phoenix. Yeah. I guess that's a good point. I think the winners wouldn't have changed, though, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think, if anything, I think that they would have been more neck and neck on at least those two characters if they were battling. I think Zedd would have destroyed Skeletor.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless, so... and then Brian Jackson says, will the next section have more live-action villains? Hope to see more outside the typical cartoons. Sorry to disappoint. There really weren't that many, and I was going for Saturday morning cartoon and or kid program villains more than I... Because if I was going to go into pure live-action film or something, I would have had to have, like, the T-1000 or, Hans Gruber, or, you know, just various characters in that kind of realm.
And we'll reserve those for the top 100 countdown. I can't really think of many live action shows you'd get villains from. I mean, there were like the other knockoffs of Power Rangers, like the Beetleborgs and what have you. But
yeah, the Beetleborgs and the there was the
VR Troopers,
VR Troopers and Superhuman Samurai Squad, which again, none of those I have any real. I mean, I watched Beetleborgs when it was on, but I don't remember a like set villain.
I just remember the guy that looked like Jay Leno. That's all I remember.
Yeah, and he was Flabber.
Yeah.
He was their like their special genie in a sense. And then the Beetleborgs themselves were they reused those costumes as villains in Power Rangers episode Forever Red.
Really? I did not know that.
And they were villains in that, so it was kind of funny all the Red Rangers fighting these Beetleborgs. So yeah, without further ado, we'll get into the winners of the matchups. The first battle was between Rhesus II and Professor Moriarty, and Moriarty took it away with 94% of the vote.
Yeah, that one was like, I think we mentioned that's what we expected, so.
Yeah, and then kind of a similar upset in the Mandarin and Leader. Mandarin took it at 62%.
I'm surprised that's not higher. Like I want to know the people that voted for the Leader. I want to know the reasoning for that, because I'm curious to see what people think, like why they think they voted Leader, or people just mad over the Mandarin still from Iron Man 3 or what have you. But I'd be interested to hear that.
Yeah, well, there were also 5 less votes on this one, which I think accounts for part of it. So. True. So getting into the next one, we have Dark Phoenix versus Skeletor. And, I didn't know that. If you hover over it, it tells how many people voted for those characters. Still playing around with the new features, which in the future I'm probably going to have to pay for. But I really like how it turns out, though. Dark Phoenix got 15 votes at 88% against Skeletor's 2 votes at 12%.
Nice, yeah. I'm guessing some He-Man fans are just like, no, I'm going Skeletor all the way.
Well, and the other thing, too, that's kind of funny is even He-Man fans aren't a fan of the new adventures of He-Man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, this was my Skeletor when I grew up to begin with.
Okay.
So, like, I remember this one the best. I mean, granted, I only saw the movie thing, but and then a couple episodes, but still. The High Evolutionary versus Dr. Luther Paradigm. And that one is High Evolutionary moving on with 9 votes and 69% of the poll.
Interesting. That one was a toss-up for me. I didn't know who would go, but High Evolutionary, interesting. All right.
So, this one I feared was going to be a battle of the wills, but... Negaduck versus Don Carnage.
Oof.
They were neck and neck with, there was 19 votes total. Negaduck took it with 1 vote.
Really?
Over Don Carnage. Yes.
Wow.
I was quite surprised.
Man. I mean, people love their Darkwing Duck, and I think he's probably more recognizable as a villain than Don Carnage, but wow, that's a close vote. See, vote because it does matter.
Yep. And the next matchup is between Dark Cat and Lord Dragonus, and Dark Cat took it with 10 out of the 13 votes at 77%, which we kind of figured.
Yeah. You know, like who Lord Dragonus reminds me of? The boss in Dinosaurs.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Looks like that guy.
It is that era, so...
Yeah.
It could have been that reasoning, so... I wonder if Disney owned that at the time.
They do now, probably. So.
Oh, I'm sure they do now. The next vote was between Skullmaster and Hades. Very similar upset to a previous vote. it was down to 1 vote, and Skullmaster took it.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
But he's more sinister than... I'm not saying that Hades wasn't, because he had, you know, the entire underworld under his thumb. But he was also kind of a bumbling idiot at the same time.
True.
So that's the only thing he had going for him that was negative.
Yeah, I mean, the photo used for Skullmaster does look pretty intense, so I could see people just like, oh, just, you know, voting it for based on that.
So The next battle, I was kind of surprised, but not really, because this, I think, was a popularity contest of who people knew best. It was Scarab against Jafar. And Jafar took it with 11 votes out of the 14, with 79% of the vote.
Nice. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I think last week we said we thought Scarab should win, but not surprised that Jafar took it, because, you know, everyone loves Aladdin.
Yeah, everybody loves Aladdin. It's that first movie was pure gold.
Yeah.
So, and then getting down to our last two fights of the left side of the bracket, we have Lawrence Limburger against Bloth. And it was a little more evenly matched, but Bloth took it with 11 votes out of the 18 and 61% of the vote.
Nice.
Which, pirate controlling dark water, yeah. Against alien running business. It just, yeah, there's kind of no contest there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the final battle was between Apocalypse and Lord Zedd.
Ooh, this one I'm interested in, because, like, I think Apocalypse could win it, but I know, you know, with there's a lot of Power Rangers fans, so Zedd could pull a, like, Jafar-like upset.
Apocalypse took it.
Nine
out of the 14 votes with 64%. I would have loved to have seen Lord Zedd go further in this fight.
Yeah.
But I think the only way that would have happened is if I had pitted him against Skeletor.
Yeah.
But then we would have been dishonored by losing either Apocalypse or Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, that would take out two really big heavy hitters. Interesting.
So, yeah, we get to go on to the next side of the bracket.
Exciting.
Which is awesome. So, getting off first on the bracket today, we have King Koopa versus King K. Rule. I figured this was like the most interesting battle, because you have two kings that are both alligators, in a sense.
And I know Koopa's from the Mario show.
Yep.
Who is K. Rule from Donkey Kong?
Yep.
All right.
So, I figured that these two would be kind of interesting, because King K. Rool is more evil in the game, but the animated series, he's a bumbling idiot, whereas King Koopa actually comes up with some pretty decent concepts of taking out the plumbers, but, I mean, still ultimately fails.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, this is interesting. I feel like I would go Koopa, because I feel like he's kind of the original, and, you know, he's when basically he was kind of, I don't want to say copied, but you can clearly see the influence there. Probably has a size advantage, and he has that shell too. So he's got basically a giant alligator plus like the protection of a turtle. So I don't know. I feel like he's got the advantage pretty much in every category.
And he kind of breathes fire, I think, too, and
yeah,
has kids. So
lot of bratty kids, yeah.
Yeah, so I think King Koopa takes it just because he's got a lot more going for him in that department, whereas the Donkey Kong show was basically a lot of just bumbling idiots. and Koopa was kind of a real deal.
Yeah.
So, and he is the, you know, original, the original villain of kind of the Mario verse. So, if you don't count Mario as the villain,
yeah, or Donkey Kong, or Kong from the very first game.
So, in the next fight, we have Ink, which is from Batman Beyond, a shape shifting saboteur. Basically like Clayface, but different. And then you have Shadow Master from Double Dragon.
So I'm not the only one that watched the Double Dragon cartoon.
No.
I'm glad. Oh, man. Interesting.
I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember watching it enough on the Saturday mornings because I basically would sit there from 6 o'clock in the morning until cartoons stopped as a kid.
Yeah, I remember actually it was on Sunday mornings where I was, and it was like I just remember the glowing chest of the Double Dragons, and actually we watched a little bit of it because we recently did the Dragon Ball, not the Dragon Ball. We'll get to that later. I recently watched Double Dragon the movie for Cinema Geek, so we went to see some of the old cartoons. So, but I know you know you're the big Batman fan, so I would be interested to hear who you think would take this battle.
Well, I for one, I think that Ink is very capable and very intelligent, because not only did she manage to almost choke Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond, out by going down his throat. but she also infiltrated the Batcave, which yep. not many villains have managed to do, aside from like Joker and Ra's al Ghul and so on. But especially in Batman's old age, and it took Batman using Mr. Freeze's freeze gun to stop her. Because everything else failed. And then, even then, when she came back later, she still knew who he was. And Batman had to don a special suit that was impenetrable just to fight her. So, she's very powerful. And then, of course, we have Shadow Master. Who has the evil black flame power.
And I think he can't, well, at least remember in the movie, he was able to possess individuals as well, which I don't know if he'd be able to do with Ink because of her kind of, you know, weird composition of and whatnot. But yeah. Hmm. Yes. And he knows kung fu or some sort of martial arts.
Yeah, he knows he's well versed in the dark arts, drawing all of his power from the black flame. He wields a unique half sword, half scythe weapon, which he can detach to wield each half separately and shoot blasts of dark energy and teleport, as well as walk through shadows at will.
So this is actually quite, I think, an even matchup, because he could be one of the few people that could, you know, sneak up on Ink with his shadow ability. I still like my gut goes with Ink, just because there's so many limitations on how you can take her out, and even when you do, she's kind of, I don't know, she's almost immortal in a way with her shape-shifting ability, like you mentioned, like Clayface. So I guess, you know, I would find it difficult for Shadow Master to find a way to take her.
Yeah, I would be kind of pining for him to put up a good fight, but I don't know if a scythe and physically fighting or shooting energy at her is necessarily going to be the thing that works, because she's kind of that mercenary hired hand, and just the fact that she can infiltrate just about anywhere. So even if Shadow Master could teleport around her, she still would have the element of morphing her body into something they could decapitate or choke him to death.
Good point.
So
be interested to see how that one goes.
Yeah, I'll be very interested. This side of the lineup should be a lot easier for people to decipher, being that these were more of the mainstream, albeit somewhat different, but more of the mainstream animated series that everybody should have at least been exposed to at least a little. So we have on the next part of the bracket Dr. Wily from Mega Man and Dr. Doom from the Fantastic Four.
Man. To people who love making robots.
Yep, making robots and evil doctors.
So for Dr. Wily, did he make Mega Man or was Mega Man a separate creation?
Mega Man, and actually the funny thing is Mega Man, Proto Man, and Gutsman and Cutsman were all made by Dr. Light. And Dr. Wily stole Proto Man, Gutsman, and Cutman.
I see.
And so, and then he was able to, from that, create his own robots.
See, I think, and that kind of makes me think to go with Doom, because Doom doesn't really need to steal plans of other individuals. He wouldn't want to, because he would probably believe, you know, anyone else's plans are beneath his. And there's not many more people more cunning in like, especially the Marvel universe. Even in the cartoon, he was able to, you know, steal the power of the Silver Surfer. You know, he go toe to toe with Galactus, who's basically, you know, almost nearly a god. So, you know, Doom is not to be messed with. So that's my, you know, I think he would not nearly as much trouble with Mega Man as Wily does. But again, I could be wrong, because I think you know much more about Mega Man than I do.
I know quite a bit about Mega Man, but I don't think he would have much of a chance against Dr. Doom and Doom's army. Because it would be more, I think Mega Man X would have more of a ability to fight against Dr. Doom than Mega Man Classic would. But even then, I think that it would still be sorely outmatched.
Yeah.
And plus, Doom isn't afraid to get his hands dirty, and Wily tucks his tail and runs. Almost Team Rocket style from Pokemon. So, I don't know. I think Dr. Doom would take that. I think he's a very formidable villain, and that not only does he wield magic and technology, but he's very brilliant.
Yep. And he can time travel too, so he's got a lot going for him.
Yeah, and he is one of the few villains that went to the 2099 timeline in the comics, so.
Yep.
So, next up in the bracket, we have two G.I. Joe contenders from two different series. Iron Claw from G.I. Joe Extreme, which is a very odd series. And again, this villain was voiced by Richard Newman. Who played Rhinox in Beast Wars. Kind of like the High Evolutionary.
Yeah.
Against Cobra Commander from the Deke series, which was Chris Latta, and then later on it was done by Scott McNeil. So. But this was more of a cartoonish Deke version of G.I. Joe. So.
Man, I'm torn on this one. I'm always more of a Cobra Commander fan from back in the day, from the, you know, the original 80s series, but I'm not sure. Where would you cast your vote?
See, I have this love of this particular Cobra Commander just because he gets the face mask, the rag that he puts over his head, which you don't get to see in the Sunbow series. He's got that face plate that you don't see anything. And then he's got the silver battle armor, which I really love in the Deke series. And there was a lot of weird stuff, like they're in the G.I. Joe and in Cobra, and oh, we're fighting, you know, pollution, and you know, the all that stuff from the 90s that they were pushing into cartoons, almost Captain Planet-esque. But a lot of it was real hokey. Like Cobra Commander had some of his troops doing, once they brought him back from being the snake from the G.I. Joe movie, because this was kind of the next evolution after that.
Yeah.
And they brought him back to being a man after, and some, they had like rock concerts to take over the world and weird stuff like that. So like, I don't know if I would take him seriously enough, but I couldn't resist bringing him back for the 90s lineup, being that he was in the 80s as well. Yeah. Just like Skeletor. I think Iron Claw would possibly take him, but he's almost kind of, he's more serious, but he's not probably as cunning and capable as some of the other villains that will come up in the next few. But he's definitely more capable than Cobra Commander at this point in Cobra's life.
Yeah.
And I want to vote Cobra, but I almost think Ironclaw should take it.
When in doubt, vote Cobra. My guess is Cobra's going to win just because he's probably more of a popular character. But for those Ironclaw fans out there, I would be curious to hear their, you know, thoughts on why they think he would take out Cobra, because I could be swayed. I'm not personally tied to either one.
Yeah. I think I'll go with Ironclaw, as much as I don't want to do that.
Feel dirty.
I feel dirty for going against Cobra Commander here, just because I like doing the voice too, but yeah, I think that I'll go with that. Yeah, so probably should get on to the next one.
Yeah. Ooh, this one's going to be fun.
Yeah. We have Green Goblin from Spider-Man the Animated Series against the Joker from the DC Animated Universe.
Man. You know, I think you hinted at last week that Mike, I think, advice going with Hobgoblin, since Mark Hamill did the voice of Hobgoblin, but Green Goblin's a better character in my opinion. He's, you know, the original Goblin, and, you know, two characters that are so similar to one another. You know, Green Goblin being Norman Osborn gone crazy, basically with a serum, and Joker just being crazy
because he fell in a serum.
Yeah. Possibly.
Acid.
Yeah. Man. You know, Green Goblin does have, you know, he has all of his crazy weapons, as Joker does. He does have enhanced strength and like dexterity and things of that nature. So, you know, a hand-to-hand fight, I think you probably, you know, Joker doesn't hold, you know, have a chance, but Joker is going against Batman day in and day out, and he's been able to last this long, so that tells you something. Man. And he is crazy enough to think to find a way to just basically, he's, you know, being so unpredictable.
The other thing I think that it could kind of go either way. I mean, you've got the hang glider and the throwing pumpkins from Green Goblin. But he's very much a Spider-Man rendition of the Joker, in a sense. Like, they're both kind of the same. They're both kind of brilliant. They're both crazy. They both have, like, this enhanced ability of just not dying in weird situations that they should be. And they both look scary as heck when you're a kid. And Joker has his acid from his flower. He has the ability to turn people into basically dead statues of big grinning fools. I don't know. It could be difficult. But if you take away some of their gadgets and it's just crazy person with crazy person, it's kind of hard. I'm pining myself personally for the Joker. And that's just because it one-ups, because you have the craziness and then you have Mark Hamill voicing him.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately what would push it over.
Yeah. If you ask me what character I prefer more, I would definitely go Joker. But if you're in a fight, I'm inclined to go with Green Goblin, because I think he does have legitimate superpowers compared to that of the Joker. And unlike Batman, Green Goblin has no issues killing. But I think the one weakness is the fact that he's somehow even more unstable than Joker, because Norman Osborn is kind of, it's almost multiple personality, where Joker is the Joker. But I don't know. I would not have an issue if Joker wins, but I think with push comes to shove, I think just with through power alone, the Green Goblin would probably win, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that in a sense Joker could win, just because he's capable of cheating the scenario and getting in people's heads enough to get them to do what he wants. Because Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, he, in the flashback, managed to torture Robin to the point he got all the information about Bruce out of him and push the right buttons to get Bruce to kind of just start wailing on him, which is what he wanted, and then he stabbed him in the leg. And then probably would have got a little bit further if it weren't for the fact Robin got involved and killed him. So, but yeah, it's kind of a hard toss up here. This will be fun to watch on the voting. So we'll move it on to Captain Pollution from Captain Planet, and Bad Rap from Extreme Dinosaurs.
Captain. This right here is like quintessential 90s. The
anti-pollution.
Anti-pollution, and then something related to dinosaurs, because they were so big in the 90s. You had Jurassic Park, you had the Dinosaurs TV show, you had a lot of dinosaur-themed things. So this is a very great representation of the 90s. Man. So that's actually quite funny. I feel like Captain Pollution was specifically made to go after Captain Planet. So would he have the same effect, like throwing pollution at a dinosaur with metal teeth? I don't know. A dinosaur with metal teeth to me is kind of unbeatable. But you know, I guess something killed a dinosaur, so maybe it was pollution.
Well, Captain Pollution has flight, super strength, and he's completely insane and destructive. However, he needs to be summoned with Rings of Destruction. So if Bad Rap ate the rings or chomped them with his metal teeth, I would say that would be game over right there. Stop him before he ever starts. But I feel like just the fact he's a dinosaur would be less susceptible to the same stuff that Captain Pollution would be dishing out. But Bad Rap also has a weapon that he got briefly from Argor Zardok, which was a dissolve solid matter gun. Like a weapon that can dissolve solid matter. So, he could have used that too. I think Bad Rap would take this one. But I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. I mean, I guess like the flight does give him a big advantage. So, that's also possible. But, like I said, I think, you know, I don't think his pollution, like, aspect wouldn't have much of an impact. So
moving on, we have from Gargoyles David Xanatos, voiced by Jonathan Frakes, aka Riker from the Star Trek TNG, who's an extremely wealthy, influential, and authoritative businessman who is also the former secondary antagonist to the Gargoyles, but he's also the reason why the Gargoyles were brought back, and he created a bunch of robot clans, robotic versions of the Gargoyles, made himself his own Iron Man suit of a Gargoyle. So, yeah, he's a very rich, basically opposite of Iron Man. And then you get Lex Luthor, who's a very opposite version of Iron Man, fighting Superman and having his own armor, which is powered by kryptonite, and creating Metallo and Livewire. And, so it's kind of a toss-up.
This is a tough one.
Who do you think would win?
I'm inclined to go Lex Luthor because he is Lex Luthor. He's one of the, you know, he's going, it says something when you have a guy who's just a human being with no powers able to go and be the arch nemesis of Superman, who has all the powers. So you know that says something. It's due to his genius level intellect. He's a guy that tends to try to not get his hands dirty when he doesn't have to, rather, you know, using pawns or something like that, or creations he makes up to do his dirty work. But he you know, when necessary, he will tussle around a little bit. You know, he's not the most physical intimidating foe, but like you mentioned, he does have the armor and things like that he can utilize. So I would be inclined to go with Luthor just because of his genius. I would probably say he's probably superior, because it's, you know, and I think he would be able to. He's more of a manipulator too, so that would be my thought.
I would agree that it would be Lex Luthor. Not only that, but. He also was the one that managed to get Brainiac to merge with him at one point. Before they separated, and Brainiac built himself a new body to get out of Lex, and then ended up kind of merging with Darkseid. And Lex also took on Darkseid and defeated him. So the fact that this guy's gone against three basically god-level characters in the DC universe, and for the most part survived everything, I would argue that Lex Luthor should win.
Yeah, so. I think that's a good argument. You know, I can take on gods. It's a good thing to put on your resume as a reason why you should either get a job or win a versus battle. So.
Yep. So this next one, I was kind of torn to fill a spot, and so I figured, you know, this would be interesting because they were basically written to be the same character, but they're not the same character because they kind of wrote them to not be. So it's kind of a fight within a fight, so it's almost a double negative in a sense. I had Beast Wars Megatron against Beast Machines Megatron.
So what are the, I love Beast Wars. It was like my introduction into the world of Transformers, and I did watch Beast Machines, but I always thought they were there. So they're not the same.
They're technically the same as far as the storyline, like the overall storyline. However, when they wrote Beast Machines, nobody really acted like they were even, they looked similar, but they weren't actually similar in how they were portrayed. Okay. At all. It was like they were kind of just creating their own thing, and if it connected, great. If it didn't, then... But by the end of the series, they were the same.
Yeah.
So, basically, I would be having the Transmetal Megatron versus the weird version we got it in Beast Machines. I was trying to find another villain, honestly, to put in here.
Mm-hmm.
But there was it was really kind of pressed to put in somebody of note that would fit well with him.
Yeah. So, knowing what you know, do you think Beast Machines?
Beast Machines came close to actually, he physically took out everyone on Cybertron. Except for Primal and his few Maximals that managed to survive the Beast Wars and travel back to a certain point in Cybertron's history to where Megatron already was in control of everything. So that essence, I would say that Megatron kind of already won in Beast Machines, although at the end it was just a battle between him and Optimus Primal. And then they had this weird Oracle planet thing that basically took them both out. So it was kind of stupid. Whereas Beast Wars, again, Megatron being the devil that he is, managed to merge his spark temporarily his life force with the original Megatron becoming a dragon and taking command of the original Megatron ship and taking out several Maximals in the process. So, and it took the traitor that he created of a previous Maximal, a clone version that ended up taking him out ultimately. So again, it was kind of he made his own mistake in the one, and the other one, it was kind of not really in his hands for losing. So makes I don't sense. Know. I think that it would be difficult to discern, but I think Beast Machine's Megatron in a sense, just because the fact that he took out an entire planet on his own when he fell off their ship as a captive and took over the planet, the fact that he did that on his own completely. What was that?
That's a good reason. I mean, I'm inclined to go with Beast Wars Megatron just because, you know, he's a dinosaur. As we've seen, big fan of dinosaurs already. But, yeah, I think Beast Machine's Megatron seems to definitely have more power, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more inclined to go with Beast Wars, but that's just because I like the various nuances of Megatron going, "Oh, yes," throughout the series. So
yeah,
and he doesn't do that as much during Beast Machines. It's more of a hollowed out, "Yes," like just kind of a drawn out kind of echo to everything. It's not, I don't know, it feels kind of emotionless for a lot of the series. So. And Primal seems like he's a crazy religious fanatic. So that's why I argue that the series are almost different.
Makes sense.
But yeah, so moving on, we have another Mainframe Entertainment show, Reboot. We have Megabyte, who is the main antagonist of the show, a virus from Mainframe who wanted to conquer the supercomputer, voiced by the late actor Tony Jay. And he's a computer virus with an army and a lot of manipulation powers and superhuman attributes, because he also can play in the games. And even though his henchmen are kind of tools in Hack and Slash, he is very intelligent. And then he eventually was changed into a Trojan horse virus when they kind of brought in the early internet into the later series, and was able to copy a complete likeness of anything he touched. So yeah, he was pretty hardcore towards the end of that. And then you get into his opponent, Cell from Dragon Ball Z, who gets more powerful by the more Z fighters that he absorbs. And he can regenerate from a single cell. So, yeah, good luck taking him out.
Yeah, I watched both of these cartoons a lot. I love Megabyte as a character, but, you know, kudos to him because he did kind of rule Mainframe for quite some time, but Cell is just, you know, like a entirely different level, going up against, you know, when you have to go fight Goku and things of that nature. Yeah, he's a, you know, he's a tough nut to crack, and you have to wait all the way to the fact that he gets his final form. So I don't think you'd even need to be in his final form to take out Megabyte. So I'll go with Cell.
Yeah, I'll go with Cell as well, because he's not only got the powers of just about everybody in the Z Fighter group, but he also has the multiple transformation and can just simply absorb Megabyte and take what he needs out of him.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Megabyte legitimately is microscopic, but yeah.
But he could infect Cell and turn him into a Trojan horse virus and take control of the personality. So
he's got that option. So.
But he's also, you know, like 20 years out of date with being a megabyte instead of a terabyte. So
yeah, he needs a major upgrade for sure.
Yeah, major upgrade. We need the mainframe computer upgraded. So the final fight we have is Dr. Praetorius from The Mask against Dr. Robotnik from the Sonic the Hedgehog, the darker version of Sonic the Hedgehog that was on Saturday mornings.
And by Mask, you don't mean the cop show, you mean the actual...
The Mask.
Jim Carrey,
basically. This animated version of it where Rob Paulsen plays the Mask, Stanley Ipkiss.
So. Yeah. He has similar powers to the Mask. Dr. Robot, he does have his crazy robots that he can, but he's kind of a bumbling idiot in a way. So if he can get by those, I think he's not got much else to offer. But
did I mention that Praetorius is voiced by somebody very significant as well in Tim Curry?
No, he didn't. So there's that, which is another huge bonus. So.
Yeah, Tim Curry. Yeah, comes back yet again in this tournament. So, I think this is like the third or fourth time. Just like Richard Newman's like three or four times.
Yeah. So, I think it's hard to say no to Curry. I know much more about Robotnik as I love Sonic the Hedgehog, but I don't think he's got really much to offer here.
No. I kind of agree. Praetorius is, basically a scientist, high intellect, expertise in robotics and chemistry, creating cybernetic bodies and including his own body as cybernetic. you get that, and then you have Robotnik, who just kind of sits in a chair and plots. And he can fight, and he can, you know, fly with some of his gear, but, yeah, he's not... He can do a lot of what Praetorius can do with a lot less of the capability of taking on a crazy hero that's got speed.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
I mean, he can't legitimately beat a rodent, so it's not a good call for him.
Yeah, and Praetorius has to fight someone who has the powers of a god.
Yeah, yeah. Loki. It was created by Loki, if I'm remembering my mythology of the Mask correctly. But interesting. So that was the final matchup of today.
Yep, that was the final matchup. It's crazy.
Yeah. But the good thing is, if you disagree with us, you have just as much say as we do. So where can people vote on these matchups?
Well, they'll be able to vote right on the episode post. Right underneath the description will be all of the lineup for this poll, as well as the tournament so far in a nice little graphical image that you can blow up and kind of examine to see where your favorite characters fell. And so then we'll come back with the round two battles and take on both sides collectively.
Nice. Just looking at some of the potential matchups for round two based upon last week's winners, that should be some fun matchups. Moriarty and Mandarin and Dark Phoenix and High Evolutionary, Megaduck and Dr. Katz. So that should be a lot of fun. Just to see now that who how well the winners do once we get in the round two.
Oh yeah, it'll be definitely a lot of fun. So
awesome.
So yeah, you can get a hold of us on the Twitters at Geekcast Radio and myself at SCP21. And you, sir?
I'm at Movie Revolt.
So be sure to keep in tune with us on the GCR and Wars, and we'll be back next week with the round two. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts. Napa
Know How. A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.